Quiet bunch. All righty, Romans 12. Romans 12, the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. Romans 12, starting in verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. All right, so are there other spiritual gifts mentioned in Scripture?
Yes.
All right, anybody know where? Yes, good. 13 is the love chapter, but 12. So yes, you're really, really close there. So flip on over to 1 Corinthians 12. Good, Susan. So the first 11 verses, everybody, if you all would just kind of read a verse or two. So I'm not going to read them all. So you guys, somebody start with verse 1. Clint, I'll tell you what, how about if you start, and when you get tired, somebody else pick up where he left off.
Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to new idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit.
Verse 4.
There are a variety of gifts that are but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone, to each given the manifestation of the Spirit for common good.
For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions each one individually as he wills.
All right, so do all of these gifts exist today? It's a loaded question, isn't it? What are your thoughts? Let me back up. Could all of these gifts still exist today? Maybe that one. We'll make that easier. All right. Yes, they could. Do we experience all of these gifts today in America?
No.
All right. No. All right. We don't. Now, you know, I'm not going to say everywhere in the world that they don't, because I can't be every place in the world and I don't know everything that takes place all around the world. But we do know, where we are, some of these gifts, they were important in the early church, and during the apostolic time, but it appears that some of them are no longer utilized or no longer as necessary as they once were, if that makes sense. What's that?
Diminished.
Right. They've diminished to a great degree. All right. So, so with that said, I do want to bring to your attention that there are, Romans and 1 Corinthians do speak most common places that speak of spiritual gifts. But at the same time, some of these aren't as evident as they once were. And there's, we know, like, miracles. Yeah, I don't know anybody that's ever performed a miracle on somebody else. Again, maybe in other parts of the world that has happened. Now, but how could we define, to some degree, maybe it's a stretch, but, someone that has a gift of healing or gift, we'll take the gift of healing. All right. How could we possibly, how could maybe we apply that today? All right. Yes. That doctors have a gift, that they've learned, God has enabled them to have the understanding of the body and how it works, how it functions. They can interpret symptoms and be able to treat, as necessary. Now, even with that said, who is the only giver of healing and health? God is, right? All right. So even through that, God is still the one providing the healing. I know different commentaries kind of try to guide your thoughts that way. I'm not saying it's wrong. It does help us understand it maybe a little bit better. But again, it's not like during the Jesus's day or the apostles where, the shadow of Peter walking down the street, just falls on somebody that's lame and they jump up and can walk. All right. That's not happening today in America. Anyway, but Troy.
I did say it's for fruit when we're growing as a tree. Like in Psalm 1, we're going to grow leaves.
Yes.
And those leaves are for the healing of the nation. So I would argue that, yes, there's still some healing.
Okay.
Healing from bitterness.
Right. More emotional feel. Yes. Yeah, but not, the lame aren't jumping up walking, exactly. And the blind aren't, seeing just by a shadow or somebody touching them.
But when you look through the whole Bible, there's only like 3 periods where you actually can see miracles, and it's when Moses came, Elijah, and Christ and the apostles. You don't see miracles or healing like that any other situations other than one or two here and there. So it's not a constant like you being in Christ or the people of God just.
Right, and always experience miracles until
the
then.
Whole,
right,
it was just a specific moment in time, and it was to ratify that person so that people know that he was sent by God.
Right. Yeah. And that's a good understanding of, Christ and the apostles, that it solidified their importance or their authority. So that people would listen and recognize who they are. Good. Good thought. Yep.
Yeah, but I think it's best to also differentiate the fact that we can experience healing even by prayer.
Yes.
When we pray.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yes.
And not necessarily that somebody has a gift of healing all the time. You pray for somebody that person has.
Yes. Yes. And I'm glad you brought that up. We can pray for people and God does heal. I mean, in the last 35 years here at Berean, there have been, I can't even tell you how many times we've prayed for someone, that had cancer or had other medical issues and, they've gone to the doctor, for a checkup or gone back, they've done the test and said, your cancer is gone. I know we've had folks before where they literally were on their way to the operating room and they did one more x-ray or one more scan and said, it's gone. We don't need to do surgery. All right. So yes, God is still in He's still healing people and doing miracles. But again, we have to understand that it's God, and it's not like, Pastor Sean went and put his hand on somebody and said, be healed, and, then all of a sudden they were healed. So, yes, I'm differentiating between, our prayers to God and God provides healing as opposed to what the apostles and Christ did where, Jesus said, I'm going to spit in the mud and stick this on your eyes, go wash it off, and you'll be, you can see. Or, he just touched the coffin and they came back to life kind of thing. So to me, that would be the difference. So, yes, I'm glad you brought that up as well. in that. All right, so if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, this is just, there are several online. This is giftstest.com, and I did it last Sunday afternoon. Went through that, and I kind of thought I knew what my gifts were, so I just wanted to verify and see how easy it was for you. I think there was 40 multiple choice questions, and you just click, go through, you know, it's like 1 to 5, how strongly does this, you know, represent you, very or none. So you click through all of them, and then they break it down for you. That was mine. I couldn't get it to, I had to take a picture of it and upload, but service was my number one, and then teaching, then administration, then craftsmanship, then exhortation. So that was kind of how mine fell out in that. So feel free to do that. It's free. And they haven't bugged me with too many emails afterwards either. All right. So, are spiritual gifts the same as natural talents or abilities?
No.
All right. No. Can they overlap?
Yes.
All right. Yes. All right. But they don't necessarily have to. So someone can have a spiritual gift that is not their natural ability, or they can coincide and be together. So, you know, that's something that you have to work through. You have to figure out what they are and how to utilize them. All right. So what is the purpose of our spiritual gifts? All right. To glorify God, ultimately. So how do we put that? How do we make that more practical? All right. We share with others. Help people in need. Anything else?
To edify and uplift one another.
All right, good. Edify and uplift one another. Yep.
I think part of it is
Isaiah. I got it right this time.
Each of our individual gifts.
Hopefully, I never forget your name again. Isaiah. Okay.
Each of our individual gifts, when we're working together as a group, it like turns us into a full body.
Yes.
Instead of just a bunch of individuals who are good at specific things when we're working together.
All right, good. That's just like in Romans 12. Yep, we're all different, but you know, we all of us function together as one, as a body. All right, so the purpose of our spiritual gifts is to help, in a sense, to help the body of Christ be unified. All right, we could kind of sum it up that way. All right, if there is one word that you could, and I'm making it really hard on you this morning, so you have to really think. But if you could think of one word that would answer this question, it starts with an M. What would it be? And it ends in a Y.
Ministry.
Yay! She didn't even look at my slides or anything. Good. All right. So, ministry. She does Wordle every day, so she's really good at stuff like that. It's more than 5 letters, but hey. All right. So how would you define ministry? Gonna make you really think.
Service.
All right, service. Something with the church. You can minister in the church, but do you have to? Is ministry only? Does it only take place in the church?
No.
All right, no.
It can be anywhere.
All right, it can be anywhere. All right, so how else would you define it?
Sharing God's word.
All right, sharing God's word. Anything else? All right, serving other people. Troy, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just capturing stuff from John Piper a long time ago.
Okay.
But then, is ministry your ministry in 2 Corinthians 1:24, not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy?
All right.
Yeah, I'd say it's the activity that presents the spiritual gifts that we're doing.
All right, it's the activities that present the spiritual gifts. All right, so is all of this ministry? All right, I just did a big collage. All right, so yes, I mean, whether you're feeding the homeless or providing a meal or just sitting talking with someone, you know, trying to help them through an issue, or you're just sitting talking with them, you know, just fellowship.
Sharing life.
Sharing life. You know, all of those things, whether you're out actually, you know, on a missions trip in a third world or another country, you know, sharing the gospel and going around handing out New Testaments, you know, as the Gideons handing out Testaments and, you know, just trying to minister to people, you know, help working with the homeless. You know, all of that is just ministry. You know, just coming to church, you know, Pastor mentioned that this morning, you know, just coming to church, you know, we don't come to church for ourselves. Now, hopefully being here, you get something out of it, but the idea of you're coming to the body of Christ, you're coming to, as Isaiah said, to use your gift really to strengthen someone else and to encourage them. You know, a byproduct is you get fed as well, but the purpose behind you being fed is so that you then can use your gifts and to be more of a blessing and help to others. So it's kind of, you know, a continuation of it. You know, and so if you're not here, you can't be fed. And if you're not fed, then you get weak and you're not able to utilize the gifts that God has given you as effectively as if you had been here and had gotten the strength that you needed. All right. So, you know, our purpose here in receiving the gifts or being given the gifts is to use them. Not just to say, oh, I have all these gifts and, you know, how great I am. No, it's, you know, God has given me these things for me to go out now, utilize them and to help others with them. Through service, through ministry of them. You know, Matthew 25 says, "For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me." The righteous will say, "Lord, when did we do all of this? You know, and when did we do that?" And he said, "Truly, as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." All right, and then we have the flip side of that. What's the flip side of that? The self-righteous ones. What do they say?
Didn't we prophesy in your name?
Right. You know, didn't we do all of this in your name? And what does he say? He says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You know, so it's this attitude. We're not doing it to be seen. We're not doing it to pat ourselves on the back or get somebody else to pat ourselves. It's this idea that, you know, it's just my way of life. You know, I'm just out helping others, ministering, serving them. Using, again, the gifts to bring the glory to God, as Melissa said back in the beginning. All right, so Jesus expects us to be his ministers on earth. You know, his hands, his feet. You know, he describes those who follow him as members of his body. You know, what is unique about the body of Christ, you know, and how do we fit into it? Isaiah kind of brought this up just a minute ago, so kind of build on what he said.
We all have different roles.
All right, we all have different roles.
We need all of them.
But we need all of them, good.
I was going to say we work together as a team.
Okay. Yes, we all work together. Another, how else does, I think Paul describes it, how does Paul describe the body of Christ? As many members, and what is these, you know, it's really, I've always loved that passage. You know, he like literally draws it out and says what? Some of you are
eyes.
Right, he said some of you are an eyeball, some of you are a big toe, some of you are a hand. You know, there's only one head, so, you know, everybody can't be the head. You know, we got 10 fingers, you know, everybody can, you know, you can be a finger, you can be a toe. You know, and what is the idea in all of that? Are all of those as showy as the others? No. But are they all necessary?
Yes.
Yeah.
They complement each other.
I mean, you know, if you, how many of you have ever broken your big toe? Nobody? Glenn? Glenn and me were the only two? I mean, it's really miserable when you don't have a big toe or you can't utilize it. I mean, if you want to play around with it, but, you know, that not like break your toe, but like just pretend like you don't have a big toe or try not to use it. But, you know, it's amazing how much balance it brings to your body. You know, just that one phalange, is that right? Did I use that word correctly? One digit. it's just amazing. And, all of that, it's nobody's, unless you wear flip-flops or sandals, nobody's, ladies, maybe yours get seen more. But for most, nobody ever sees my big toe, on purpose. I don't want you to. But it provides a great service to the body. And that's what, even within the body of Christ, there are some people that feel like, I don't really have a lot to offer. I'm just, a little obscure, nothing. But you know what? It's still important. There's still value in that. I don't preach every Sunday. You know what? There can only be one person preaching a sermon. But all of us can do something as he's preaching. We can all do something before the sermon, after the sermon. We can all worship in song and praise and greet people during the greeting time and all of that. All of us can do that. We can all, many things. I won't start listing them. But, all of us can find how we fit in, where we fit in, and then do it to the best of our ability. There. And we'll look at 1 Corinthians 12 next week. Go ahead, if you want to kind of study up on that, that's where we'll start next week. 1 Corinthians 12 and following, where it's our body with many members. When Paul was speaking about that, the hand and the foot and the, all of that. So we'll talk about that some more next week. Jeremiah, would you close us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that we gather together, hear your word. I thank you that we go about our week to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All righty.